Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Plate and Time. We have landed in 1997. Luckily, me and Andrew, we have been here before, so butterfly effect may be coming out. I'm not sure. I didn't mean to kick a trash can, and now I think there's just, I don't know. I realized that one of my cats has six toes, so I think I screwed something up, you know? But yeah, welcome Andrew to the pod once again from our Last Meal podcast. How's it going, Andrew?
Devin, I'm doing well. How are you?
All right. I'm doing all right. I tell you what, I was going through this 1997 stuff. At the time, I was seven. How old were you?
I was turning 10 that year.
See? Okay. So you kind of, you probably remember a little more. Not too much, but a little more.
Yeah, I'd like to think I remember a decent bit. I believe 97 was my first or second year living in the home that I finally grew up in. Yeah. It's a formative year, I think, for anybody. Yeah. You're double digits, you know, you're even past the age of being a big kid.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a milestone, man.
You said, I'll tell you what, so I had to look it up, and I don't know if this is where you're going, but King of the Hill, one of my all-time favorite animated shows, debuted in 97.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I did not know that, actually. Good old 97.
Well, you know, then that's... that's serendipity in the best possible way.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and see, that's the thing. I was headlong into Simpsons, right? That was a big, like at the time. Yeah. I mean, anybody who was anybody, you were talking about that. And then around 98, that's when South Park came out. And that was like, you hit the big time if you were like, yeah, no, one, I do have cable and or satellite, and two, my parents, they don't know or they allow me to watch South Park. That was the big thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there were definitely, those were the shows I was watching I shouldn't have been. And, you know, thank God for basic cable in my bedroom. That's all I can say.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. They have created a lot of psychological issues, but also a lot of great memories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are they harmful? Course. Sometimes. Are they great?
Debatable.
Debatable. Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those things. I try to think back to all of the great electronics that were going on at the time, right? So you had N64, you had the original PlayStation, you had... People were still walking around with not only Walkmans, if they were still holding onto their tapes, but Discmans, right?
Oh, man.
Yeah, the portable CD players. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I still remember carrying like a little thing that held like 10 discs, and it was like, hold on a second, and if you put it in your pocket, the CD would skip if you were like walking.
Man. So yeah. My wife and I were talking about this a while back. Our daughter will never know the sheer fear that you have in your heart whenever you hit a bump listening to a Walkman, there goes the CD.
Yeah.
And I have fond memories of the Walkman. My first car had a tape deck. It didn't have a CD player. So I had the Walkman with the cassette tape conversion plug-in. So
right.
I had...
Right.
So at 16, I had... not only was I the lucky driver of a Chevy Prism, I also had the luxury of a Walkman plugged into a tape deck, and hope. I had hope.
Hope! Yeah. Yeah, and let me guess, the whole time you're like, man, I got this Prism. Yeah. Friends, ladies, coming out of the woodwork with this thing. Like, I know I'm going to be the popular kid once I'm driving through.
Ladies, yeah. It is a Prism. Please contain yourselves.
Yeah. Please, the makeup and your nails, it will do some things to the paint. Please. Yeah. Please step back.
Oh, there was already rust on it, you know. But hey, that's 2003. You know, let me not jump ahead of myself.
Yeah. That's another plate in time. But the first thing here I've got from the Tampa Bay Chronicle in their archive. This was actually an article from 1998, but it was about new food products that failed in 1997. So these are things that were in 1997 that me and you probably will be like, oh yeah, we actually liked that. And they're like, eh, not enough.
I'm excited to hear this.
Yeah. So it says here that it's estimated that the failure rate within the first 5 years for the thousands of new products introduced in supermarkets is as high as 85%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that is a high percentage. I didn't think it would be that high, and
I didn't. So my first two jobs were actually in grocery stores, and so I remember I used to love getting to see new stuff that would come in, you know, because it's totally so exciting. Like, oh, what are they doing with cheese now? And right, you know, oh, just man. Yeah, it's like, oh, they got a new flavor, a Cool Ranch for these Doritos, you know. It's I didn't know it would be that high as 85%, though.
85%. And see, that's the thing, though, is I wonder if they're taking into account, like, special editions, right? You know, that kind of thing.
I wonder.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyways, new and improved, you had, first off, Razzle Dazzle Rice Krispies. Yeah, that's right. Razzle Dazzle Rice Krispies.
So Snap, Crackle, and Pop, I know were three. So were Razzle and Dazzle, were those two extra guys that were helping with the Rice Krispies that they couldn't stand? Or was this just sprinkle? Both. Was it a sprinkle situation?
It was a slight sprinkle situation. The main thing is that Razzle and Dazzle, it was kind of a crazy time. And so, yeah, it was a crazy time. And the Razzle Dazzle Rice Krispies, you got to remember here, it was kind of confettied. It looked like kind of like a huge firework went off inside of your Rice Krispies box. Snap, Crackle, and Pop were still there, right? They were still trying to hold down the fort. It does say here, kids eat this up. And then what I think it's Pop says, what's not to like? And then the third guy, Crackle, he's at the top and he's trying to say something, but the image was not tall enough to let it go through. So Crackle, he's just getting silenced. He's getting radio silenced here. But what I remember about Razzle Dazzle Rice Krispies was basically it was like this thing where I was like, what's the difference between that and Fruity Pebbles?
I'm just going to say this. I this could be a hot take. This could be controversial. I'm not a fan of Fruity Pebbles.
Your reasoning. What's going on there?
It's, you know, and I'm not, and it's not like an, oh, I'm in my 30s and I'm dead inside now. It's not even that. I just, even as a kid, not a fan of Fruity Pebbles. I would take a Cocoa Pebble over a Fruity Pebble, but even still, wasn't a huge fan of Cocoa Pebbles. You know, for me, Honey
Flavored Rice Puff, not.
Essentially.
Yeah.
You know, and you think about it, Flavored Rice Puff. You're not really pulling in anybody with that description.
True. Yeah. It's not very, it's not fun. It does not sound flavorful.
It is yet, accurate, though.
Right. Yeah. I will say the Snap, Crackle, Pop of Rice Krispies, never that impressive. You know what I mean?
It makes noise. Right. You know. Right. It's a cereal, and I don't dislike cereal. I've got a box of, well, I've got two boxes in the pantry right now. One is Honey Nut Cheerios. The other one is Raisin Bran. Do not come for me.
I love Raisin Bran. And okay, Raisin Bran Crunch that's the, like, if I'm a bad boy that day, I'm going Raisin Bran Crunch. If you go with regular Raisin Bran, you're saving on the sugar and the calories. Raisin Bran's a champ, man. Raisin Bran's a champ.
That's the only application of raisins that I'm a fan of or that I support, you know. It's because if I was handed a box of raisins as a treat, I'd be pissed.
Yeah. Oh, man. If you got a little box of sun-made raisins in Halloween candy.
Oh, God.
yeah, no, that was not like that was not acceptable. Like, I think as a kid, you could go back to that door and be like, "Ma'am, this is not acceptable."
Like, you know, if you didn't want to hand out candy, just cut the porch light off. Don't be this person.
You don't have to participate, ma'am. You don't have to participate. And I say, ma'am, it could be an old guy. It could, you know, you walk up there, sir, and then he's like, "What is it?" And you're like, "You don't have to participate if you're going to be handing this out, okay?" And he's like, "Here, take some pennies." You're like, "That buys me nothing. With inflation, this is a joke, sir."
I honestly, you know, if you're the house handing out, you're phoning it in, and you're not even trying, you know. You don't have to go full size bars, although I encourage it. You don't have to go full size bars, but you know, something, you know, sugar, real sugar, not dried fruit.
Right. No dried fruit. Even if you do apple chips or banana chips, like, we all like these things, but they're not candy.
That nobody's putting on 4 hours of face paint in an ill-fitting costume to go get apple chips.
Right. I'm not going to get uncomfortable and basically try to, you know, rationalize my decision for the costume that I had while eating apple chips. It's not happening.
Exactly.
It's not happening.
I dressed up as a zombie football player because I wanted some Starburst and a Snickers. I didn't do this for reasons.
Right. You know what? I was the white Power Ranger this year, and it had gold with a little lion, and I don't think even the lion would eat these raisins, sir. Like, you know, I tell you. But see, on your list, though, you had Honey Nut Cheerios. Well, you would have been okay with this next pick, Team Cheerios. That's right. For whatever reason, after the 96 Olympics, after, there was Team Cheerios. And there was three different kind of delicious O's. That's right. There's three O's. One was a whole wheat. One was, I think, a regular Cheerio or Honey Nut. And the other was a frosted Cheerio. That's right.
I'll be honest, bring this back. I would get this now.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. The odd thing here, like the picture that I've got, it says Team Cheerios. One, the Cheerios logo in 3D, nice touch via 1997. That's a big deal. Third, it's got like a flag thing in the background. There's no stars, but it is red, white, and blue, right? And then the other thing here, I was expecting red, white, and blue Cheerios. And then I realized that was actually a limited edition Team Cheerios whenever, like, I think it was the Winter Olympics or something, which maybe that's why this one came out, was the Winter Olympics. Like, they realized they dropped the ball on the Atlanta 96 Olympics, and they're like, "We got to do it for the winter ones." Like, I don't know, but Team Cheerios... no longer with us.
Somebody at General Mills lost a job because they didn't get it out in time. That's the only thing I can think of.
Right. Yeah. Somebody was like, "Man, for the 96 Olympics, do you think you're going to be able to get this out on time, Jeb?" And Jeb's like, "96? Like, what? I thought it was an 8. I'm telling you. Jeb, he was very close to losing his job, and somehow he convinced everybody at Team Cheerios that he was like, "Guys, we can get this out for the Winter Olympics, and I promise you, it'll be a success." And then in 1998, basically they were like, "Hey, this is not going to keep happening." We released it in 97, and it didn't even make it throughout the year.
Oh, yes. And here's the thing. Nobody's getting excited. One, nobody's getting excited for Cheerios. I'm just going to say it. And two, nobody's getting excited for the Winter Olympics. Cheerios are the Winter Olympics of cereal. I'm bringing my spicy takes tonight. I'm sorry.
Man, yeah, I was going to say, you're coming in hot with some of these. It's, man, I might have to put a big warning label of, like, please don't come after me. My Twitter handle is this. Go to Andrew.
You have to mark it. It's explicit. Yeah. Not for the language, just for the takes.
For the hot takes. Yeah. Please, everybody wear safety gloves and goggles when you're listening to this episode. You got to watch out. But then the next one here, maybe you might need, I don't know, snow goggles, ski goggles. I'm not sure. frosted shredded wheat. That's right. It came out in 1997 with none other than Penny Hardaway on the friggin' box. Yeah. And
I have no negative opinions here. This is I'm all for this.
Let's do it, Andrew. Come on.
Yep.
Clap it.
I'll give you this one.
Yep. Good job, Post. Good job. Post and Nabisco teamed together here, probably already part of the same company, but it doesn't matter. They did frosted shredded wheat. You can tell they had to take off all the logos for the Orlando Magic. Doesn't matter. Penny Hardaway on the cover. Yes. Yeah, frosted shredded wheat. See, that's the thing. They're bite size, so they're not the big pieces of chunky wheat, right? It was the little, you know, pieces. There are versions of it that come out basically every couple of years, it seems like, right? They'll do minis or they'll do this or that. So it's like, this was a failure, but not like a huge failure. Like,
yeah. Well, I feel like it's more, it's reinvented itself, you know?
And, right. Right.
And then too, you know, you've got Penny Hardaway, and I'll say this, I've never been really a basketball fan, but like Penny Hardaway, everybody knew him, you know?
Oh yeah.
And it's, I haven't thought of him, and if Penny, if you listen to this, please, no offense. Yeah. I have not thought of you in a long time. Because again, not a basketball person.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everybody knew Penny Hardaway in the 90s.
He was the smooth, he was like, to put it in perspective, I think that, so like around that same time too, if you wanted to equate it to like baseball a bit, right? McGuire, the Mark McGuire of basketball was Michael Jordan, right?
Of course.
It was Jordan, right? He's dunking on everybody. He's getting the championships. That's what he's doing. You got the home run king. Like, okay, fine. Then you had like Sammy Sosa, which Sammy Sosa, home run race, 98. I keep going to 98. I don't know why. But, you know, Sammy Sosa, I would say in the NBA around that time, you're talking more like your Patrick Ewings, your David Robinsons, your, you know, some of the big men in the game, Charles Barkley, even, because Allen Iverson hadn't shown up yet, right? But the Ken Griffey of basketball, so very good, smooth, and all the girls thinks that this guy is the hottest in that sport. It was Penny Hardaway. It was Penny.
You said,
and he was before Kobe. Yeah, he was before Kobe. So it was one of those things where, like, when he was playing, girls would watch because they were like, oh, he's cute. And then guys would watch because they're like, man, he's just so smooth. Like, he just dribbles smoother than every other player. Jordan was kind of like manic. He was fast. He was strong. He'd just go in and do whatever he wanted to do. Yeah. Patrick Ewing, he was kind of slow, but he was super powerful. He had Shaq. Right, all those big names, but Penny was the smooth one. You know, he had that Griffey like smooth swing to his dribbling and everything that he did. You know,
And let's just be honest too, Penny Hardaway is a cool name.
God, it's just one of the cool name. Coolest names ever. Penny Hardaway. Ah, man, yeah, great name. Just
it just rolls off the tongue.
It does. It's perfection. But yeah, and it says it here after the frosted shredded wheat for the article and the ongoing quest for line extensions, companies are taking healthful, low sugar cereals, adding color and sweeteners, and thereby ruining them for purists and adding sugar to kids' diets. Then Campbell's cream of mushroom soup was sold in a glass jar. Yeah.
Why?
The advertising for this soup states that it is in a glass jar just to show it off.
That did anybody actually look at it when they decided they want to show it off?
No, absolutely not.
Because I use cream of mushroom soup.
Totally.
There is a very, very basic pork chop recipe that I inherited from my mother. And it's one of those things. It does not look appealing. It doesn't sound appealing. It is delicious. Right. It is comforting.
Right.
Every time I make it and I dump the cream of mushroom in there, I'm just like, this doesn't look good. I should make something else.
I should make my own cream of mushroom just to, like, up the game of this. And yet at the same time, it's like, dang it, Campbell's. I'm gonna use your cream of mushroom. You make it too easy.
What weirdo at Campbell's was walking around, saw a big tub of cream of mushrooms, like, we need to let people see this. That's how you move it.
Right, exactly. That's like saying you're gonna put tomato soup in a glass jar now, and people will just be buying it instead of like marinara sauce. Like, are you joking?
who's walking by? It's red.
Right. Right. Yeah. Once again, I think Jeb was fired from Team Cheerios because they were like, yeah, no, this isn't even going to make it out of 1997. He goes over to Campbell's and he's like, guys, listen, I can't like do the artwork and stuff like that, but I think you should start selling this in jars. I think people need to see the beige gray that we all strive for in cream of mushroom soup.
God. And the chunks too. Like, this is, if you want to move cream of mushroom soup, people need to know how chunky it is.
Right, right. They need to see the viscous nature of this entire can.
I'm throwing away every can of cream of mushroom we have in the pantry tonight.
All because of Campbell's making a mistake in 97. Yeah. And then it does say here, well, the one thing that you won't see unless you read the label on the jar is that it contains 23 grams of fat per cup and 1,130 milligrams of sodium. By contrast, Campbell's canned condensed version had 7 grams of fat and 870 milligrams of sodium. So it was even worse for you. Like, they're like, oh God, if we're going to show this off, we got to make it better. It didn't get any better, and you made it less healthy.
So you, not only did you make it worse for your body, you made it, it's like, okay, it's bad for your body, but we've also made it bad for your eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Made it bad for your eyes, made it bad for your health. Overall, you open the jar and you've basically made things worse for yourself. Good job, Campbell's.
I really hope they charge more for it just so they can say it's bad for your wallet too.
Right. Well, I think part of it with the Campbell's and the jar, if, you know, growing up in the Midwest like I did, you grew up in North Carolina, mom and grandmoms, they're hanging on to the jars.
Right? Oh, yeah. No, I've drank tea out of an old grape jelly jar, and I've eaten cereal out of a Cool Whip container.
Right. Yeah, totally. I mean, that's the thing, is it's like one of those things where, you know, when they were selling the jars, they're like, well, part of it is they're going to be able to keep the jar. And they're, even then, they were like, Jeb, there is a reason you got fired at Cheerios. This is the dumbest idea we have ever heard. Yeah. Oh, man. Poor Jeb.
Jeb had terrible ideas, but
he knew how to do an interview. That's why he kept getting these jobs.
Well, I'm just saying, how persuasive was it? He could have sold ketchup popsicles to a woman in white gloves.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. Just walks up and he's like, hey, do you like ketchup? Yeah, take this. Immediately.
And that's my Tommy Boy deep cut of the night.
Right. Right. That's the deep cut. But another deep cut, which I think a lot of people who are big fans of cheese doodles are going to be upset about. Doodle heads. That's right. Doodle heads made by Borden's Wise Snacks. No, we're not going to sell it in a huge tub with a blue lid. They came out with cheese doodles in the shape of a head. Cute idea. Yes, but why do they need 40% more cheese and twice the fat as the regular version?
Is 40% more cheese, is that a promise or a threat?
I think it's a threat. I think it was like, oh, you like our cheese balls? Well, look at these cheese doodles. And they're like, we're going to make it bigger. It's going to have more cheese and more fat. And yeah, the whole bag, by the way, on the bag, it says the price, 25 cents.
Wild.
Yeah. Isn't that wild? Like, I'm like, what? Like, 25 cents for a bag of Cheez-It? What the heck?
Yeah. I'm literally going to say, back in my day, a quarter would get you a bag of cheese doodle or a bag of doodle heads.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't wait to break this off on my child, because it makes no sense. Even in context, I don't feel like it makes sense.
Doesn't make sense. Like, and that's the thing, is it's one thing if you made like cheese doodle heads Scooby-Doo, right? Or like a cartoon character. No. These are just like random heads, like they're cartoon heads of random things. It, yeah, no special characters whatsoever.
So Jeb, he lost his job at Campbell's. He pops over to Wise because they're right beside of each other. Says, "Hey, I noticed you sold cheese doodles. You know what people are thinking when they eat these? Wish they were shaped like a head." I whenever I'm shoveling these in my fist to make up for losing another job, I'm always thinking like, "Why is it shaped like a doodle, not a head?"
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing is, who knows? We're being really hard on Jeb. What if Jeb actually was like, "Hey, so guys, we make these cheese balls, right?" And everybody's like, "Yeah, yeah, Jeb. What's your problem with the cheese balls?" He's like, "I don't have any problem with it. Just can we put a smiley face on them?" And everybody's like, "Oh, yeah, that'd be a Jeb. That's like, that's brilliant, man. Just because all we got to do is on the die, we just add in two dots and then, yeah, like a U or whatever. And it'll work. It'll be a smiley face." He's like, "Yeah, I just think that cheese doodle, you know, we can call them cheese doodle, I don't know, heads." And then, you know, telephone, right? The game telephone. It goes up the chain. And then at the CEO, they're like, "Listen, we're going to create cartoon versions of cheese doodles, but they have heads, and we're going to make it a head. This is going to change all of our machinery. It's going to change the bag. We're actually going to have to sell it cheaper at 25 cents instead of a huge tub. And we have to change all of our machinery." And the CEO immediately is like, "Please do not tell me that the VP of marketing has signed off on that." Yeah, he already signed off on this. And the CEO is just like, "Oh my God. Whose idea was this?" They're like, Jebediah. Yeah, he's a new guy. Down in the warehouse, he came from looks like your Campbell's." And immediately Jeb was done again at Borden's Wise Snacks division. poor Jeb. Yeah.
Oh, poor guy.
I know, poor guy. But then he then moved on to RJ Grew's Java Juice, and I remember Java Juice. Yeah, Java Juice, it came in a clear bottle. The picture that I've got, it doesn't specifically say that it's RJ Grew's, but I kind of remember this type of bottle, and the logo looks similar. So that's what I'm going off of here, people, is seven-year-old me remembering these bottles. It was caffeinated juice. Yeah, caffeine and coffee and soda is one thing. When you start adding caffeine to juices, such as with RJ Grew's Java Juice, you're tarnishing the image of a drink that's healthful and kid-friendly. And aren't we all nervous and agitated enough? Oh, author of this article, you're in 1997. You just wait.
That's what it's. You had to be there. You had to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you had to be there. Yeah, they're like, "Ugh, Windows 98. I mean, how many versions are they going to come out with?" And we're like sitting here like, monkeypox.
You know? God. Java juice.
Yeah, Java juice. Yeah. And the weird thing is you'd think Java juice, it's like, I think most people would automatically jump to coffee. Like,
that's exactly where I went.
Right, like the Java, so it's a coffee drink, and they're like, no, it's like kiwi strawberry, and you're like, with coffee? And they're like, no, Java's just like part of the name, and it's like, yeah, this doesn't make any sense. Like, this, you've lost me. Who created this idea? Well, the guy's name's Jeb, and he's been moving from company to company this year. No. Java Juice did not make it. And that's the other thing, too, is like, now, it's kind of like what the person said, like, it's no longer kid-friendly and healthy, like, at all. Which juice, like, full-fledged juice is not exactly healthy, but at least it's not going to get, you know, it'll get your kid a sugar high, not a literal high. Like, man.
Everything seems like it's been a compromise of like, okay, we're gonna do something healthy. I don't like healthy. Okay, we'll put a lot of sugar in it, a lot of caffeine in it. And so then you just piss off everyone.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's just make it to where no one wants to buy this. And what are we going to do? We're going to have something that matches juice. And just one person in the room was like, Java. It's like, yeah, sure. And that's the other thing, too. Yeah. Which makes me wonder, Jamba Juice, how did that succeed? If Java already just completely spoiled it. You know, granted, Jamba doesn't have like caffeine and everything. Right.
Well, Jamba's more fun than Java.
Yeah, very, very true. Yeah. There was one time, nobody quote me on this. It might be awful and my memory is really bad. I went to Jamba. See, I'm saying it now. Jamba Juice. And I got a strawberry something. It was like strawberry kiwi, strawberry. Could have been strawberry banana, but I don't remember much banana. But anyway, I had it, and one of the rare times where I had it and I didn't drink 3/4 of it before I got home, I had a majority of it left, and I also was like, oh, there's no caffeine in this. I grabbed a Red Bull.
Oh, no, please. Oh, no.
Poured it over my Jamba Juice. Man, I freaking loved it. It was great. It tasted great. Did it separate a little bit? I can't wholeheartedly remember, but it tasted really good. I was like, man, this is pretty awesome. Just incorporate the two. Why doesn't Jamba Juice do this? And I'm learning why. Jamba Juice, it was already tried. Nobody wanted it. You know, I'm telling you.
Good Lord.
Oh, yeah. Good Lord. Yeah. Because I thought in my head, like, you know, people mix it. I'm out here in Oregon, right? We got Dutch Bros, right? And they have something called a Rebel, right? Which is like Red Bull, right? But anyway, yeah. So, but they mix it with, you know, fruit syrups all the time, right? And so I just thought, Jamba Juice, why not? And then I forgot that it was like, oh yeah, this is a smoothie. And I just poured it in and it was all fizzy. I thought, perfect. And I drank it and I was like, perfection. Never done it ever since, so I don't think it was that great. I really can't remember. But yeah.
I'll give you, I bet it was interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Had some fizz, you know? It bubbled me up. I don't know what to say. It bubbled me up. But yeah, and then another thing that has gone to the wayside but is still being reused. I Googled this. It's gotten interesting. Dole Banana. That's right. Dole, the fruit company. Dole Banana advertising. And the picture that I've got here, it's of the modern version. That way, everybody. Because trying to find the old ones, it's a collector's item. That's right.
Really?
What was Dole Food Company thinking when it decided to put stickers on its bananas cross-promoting Milk and the new animated movie Anastasia? Or Anastasia. Leave our produce alone, said the author. Well, now Dole, every time they come out with Disney-themed, like, stickers on the bananas, people are collecting them and selling them on eBay. It's like trading cards.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. Like, Moana, hot ticket item right now. Another hot ticket item is Cinderella. And the live action movies, they had stickers. Lion King, Dole knew what it was doing. I think they knew. Yeah,
I'll tell you. I think it makes sense as a crossover. I mean, because you know, we every time we go to the grocery store, we went to the store today. We're buying bananas. We're also watching a lot of Disney movies.
See,
this makes sense.
Dole got you on both. They were like, get bananas, it's healthy. Oh, look, is that Aladdin I see? And it's like, dang it, Dole, you got me again. And somewhere, I don't know where, Bob Dole is chuckling to himself. He's like, I did get you again.
He's not related. He still thinks it's funny.
Right.
He's like,
yeah. Right. He still thinks it. He's like, remember when they did Anastasia? It's like, yeah.
I will tell you this, though. I like how, you know, you're not having to... The movies, they're not promoting the bananas. They sell themselves.
Right.
Bananas sell themselves.
Right. But people are going to buy bananas.
Yeah, but they know. We want to sell movie tickets, so bananas.
Bananas. Guys, you know the thing that you throw away? Yeah, let's put stickers on that. let's put stickers on it, and then kids will love it as it's rotting in the trash. Let's do this.
Yeah.
It's like, no, why? But no, people literally were not happy. With the Anastasia, like,
in all fairness,
branding, yeah,
that one particularly. If my daughter's like, "Who's that?" Oh, it's Princess Anastasia. Who is she? Okay, I got to go through a couple hundred years of Russian history and a lot of violence really quick. You know what? Go ahead and peel that sucker and have a seat. Let's go ahead and get this covered.
Right. You got milk? Because you're supposed to have it with your bananas.
Sweetie, what do you know about the Bolsheviks?
Have you ever heard a word called czar? Huh? It's got a T and a Z with it.
So there is a guy named Rasputin. You know what? We'll get to him.
Right. Right. I think you're going to like him, but I hope you don't like him too much. All right. Now listen. It's like, yeah. But the next failure here, Sara Lee Braggles. Cannot find an image for this, by the way. Couldn't find it. Like, I think Sara Lee has scoured the internet and deleted all visual imaging of Braggles. I tried. The closest thing I could find was basically what they call Bantam bagels, where they are stuffed bagels. That's right. They're already stuffed with cream cheese. They were trying to save you time. Sara Lee tried to reduce the workload for bagel fans by coming out with already filled bagels. It's Braggles. Have fillings such as strawberry and sweet cheese and raspberry strawberry.
I don't hate that, though.
I don't hate it. It said they don't work. Yeah.
I mean, I get, you know, I don't remember this from 97, but I will say as an idea, stuffed bagel does not sound bad at all.
No. And the thing is I think one reason why this may not have worked is because they were like, "Oh, let's go the fruit route." And it's like, "Guys, you get a bagel and you slather that puppy with cream cheese. Period. Like that's what you do." Or honey. Yeah.
Now, see, I if I'm going for a bagel, I prefer savory to sweet, so I could see that.
Yeah.
I did just get back from Miami, and one of my favorite things in Miami is any Cuban pastry that you can get a hold of. Mm. If you can get a guava and cheese,
yeah,
absolutely dynamite. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is one if this came back out, I would be first in line to try this.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, Bantam bagels, I like them. I just don't like that it's like an edible little ball. You know? Like a bagel. I like a full-fledged bagel. Did you know that most bagels, like a regular bagel, it is worse for you calorically and sometimes, sugar and carbs than a donut? Like, a bagel is worse for you than a donut. That is insane. And yet, at the same time, you put some cream cheese, some smoked salmon, some chives on there. I'm like, dude, perfect. Look at this healthy breakfast sandwich.
Yeah. No, I'm not eating garbage. It's got protein. It's got, it's not, this is good. Yeah. It's not, a, see, you know, as you sit down to eat your bagel sandwich with, you know, fried egg, bacon, you know, cheese, hot sauce on it, you know, like, you know, at least it's not a donut, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Guys, I could be eating really bad donuts right now. Jeez. Everybody.
Yeah. I was going to get a donut this morning. I decided to be healthy, so I got the bagel sandwich.
Got the bagel
sandwich.
Which one
did you get? Oh, it's got the cardiac arrest, so it's real good.
Right. It's got the 1 pound slab of what they call Dirty Dale's bacon. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, God.
He's like, yeah. So I actually could only eat half of it. I was full, saving the rest of it for lunch. It's like, Oh, God.
Decided to save it for later, 5 minutes later. And guess what? It's later.
Yeah, it's later, ain't it? Yeah. But no, I mean, the thing is, the last thing I will say about bagels, I think I was the only one in the vehicle at the time that was super upset whenever I heard that McDonald's got rid of their bagels for their sandwiches. I was not happy about that. I loved the bacon, egg, and cheese bagel. I loved it.
It was good.
I know.
Maybe not objectively. Right. I know all of New York would be just livid to hear this, but you know what? For what it was, where it was from, how much it cost, it was pretty good.
It was pretty great. It was huge. It was like I think the only reason I got it was because it was bigger than the biscuit bacon and cheese. Right.
That's fair.
So, like, I was like, oh, it's going to fill me up more if I get the bagel. And so that's what I would do is if I was, like, super hungry in the morning, I was like, okay, I'm going to get a bagel, bacon, egg, and cheese instead of the biscuit. Well, then the McGriddles came around, and they were like, eh, we'll get rid of the bagels. And inside, my heart was like, Ronald, you better not meet me in public. I swear to you, it will be a bad day for you, Mr. McDonald. It just, you know.
I did just picture you seeing a guy dressed like Ronald McDonald and just berating him.
Yeah. I'm like, you son of a... And I just start tearing into him about the bagels. And he's just like, I am a corporate millionaire. Billionaire at this point. Why would I care about bagels?
Well, I'd go the other route. I just assume it's some guy. It's his first day in the clown makeup, and he just walks away, kind of holding back tears, asking his supervisors, "Is it always like this?" Like, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. You hug a couple kids, a couple of them pee on you, and then mostly adults yell at you. So yeah,
yeah,
yep. Typical day being old Ronnie. That's how this goes.
Could be like, worse. We could have put you in the Hamburglar outfit. You do not want to be in the Hamburglar outfit.
Yeah. Do not want to be in the Hamburglar. What was the big purple guy? I didn't even know what he was. Grimace. Yeah.
What the heck
was Grimace?
Grimace was an acid trip.
Yeah.
Grimace was somebody took too much acid, and that's what they came up with.
Right. Somebody mixed the salt with the acid, and somebody had a crazy set of large fries. That's all I know. But the next one here, Squeezerts. That's right. I thought in my head it was a type of Squeeze-It, because I remember Squeeze-Its. So I've got a picture here of Cake Mate Easy Squeeze. It's icing. No. I couldn't, once again... Energy Zone, whoever that is, they have scoured the internet and they deleted everything after 1997. But from what I understand, it came in a pouch like that. So imagine like the applesauce, I think, today, where you can pop the little plastic cap, you squeeze it, it's in a little pouch. That's what it was. Energy Zone has taken the eating on the run concept one step too far with Squeezerts, a line of squeezable desserts targeted to kids. Flavors included cookies and cream pudding and fruit-flavored gelatins, which fruit-flavored gelatins and the puddings, for that matter, this concept, very popular in Japan and South Korea. Like,
really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People buy this type of stuff all the time. And I've gotten stuff, and I thought it was pretty okay. I'll admit, the fruit-flavored gelatins, just give me a gummy worm or a gummy bear. I don't need it in this thing. Like, it's like squeezing Jell-O out of a tube. It's kind of weird. But the puddings, at least, you keep it cold, pretty good. It's like a Go-Gurt, right? Like, you know, but yeah. Yeah.
You know what? I'm not going to poo-poo this. I would try that.
I know. Yeah. It didn't work here, though. The nutritional profile is similar to other desserts you eat with a spoon, but these take convenience in an unhealthful direction. Yeah.
In my head, I just picture somebody trying to sell it. No, it's healthier because you squeeze it.
Yeah, exactly. You have to do more work to get it out, so you burn calories as you eat this. Yeah.
Jeb, I mean, he pitched. He's like, no. It's a healthy alternative. The caloric effort to squeeze something and then get that last little bit. Yeah, no, you're saving calories.
You're saving calories. It's probably a negative loss. Actually, you're probably going to burn more calories than what you're eating right now. And they're like, Jeb, you're just
essentially a workout.
Yeah, yeah. All we know is that there's going to be a bigger guy and a lazy boy just rolling a whole tube of this in his mouth at some point. So I don't think that person's losing calories. Jeb's like, dang it. Well, listen, I got a job lined up at Coca-Cola because I heard they've got a new soda coming out called Surge.
Oh, God, Surge.
Yeah.
Inject it in my veins.
I know. I told Andrew before the show, Surge was the first free soda I ever got. I went up to a Walmart, right? So not a super center. It was a regular Walmart. And I walked up to the vending machine and I saw it had Surge, and my mom wouldn't buy Surge for me. She like, same with Mountain Dew. I think both of those, she's like, oh, it's got higher caffeine. This kid,
fair.
Yeah, yeah. This kid's freaking nuts. I'm not giving him anything close to that. And, you know, God forbid he gets one of these cans in his hands. Like, oh, man. And I just walked up to it, and I jokingly smacked the surge button. It rolled out of the vending machine. I was ecstatic. I was so happy. And nobody was around either. So, like, it was just me and my brother and my mom. I smack the button. It comes out. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Because I'm, like, seven, right? And so I'm just like, this is amazing. My mom's like, drink it up because it's, like, the only one you're ever going to get. Well, Surge did come back in 2020. Talk about the worst year you could have come back. Yeah, it came back in 2020 at Burger King. Of all places, came back at Burger King. You could get Surge, and I got it then as well. And yeah, it's amazing. I thought it was way better than Mountain Dew. Then again, I thought Vault, if anybody remembers Vault, I thought Vault was better than Mountain Dew. Both are massive failures.
I also remember, if we're speaking as, you know, citrus sodas, Mountain Dew had their Live Wire, their orange Mountain Dew. Loved it back in the day. But Surge holds a very special place in my heart. Yeah. Well, met my heart, my liver, probably a
couple
probably
of
my ones. Yeah, my DNA at this point, probably.
Right.
I'm just going to say it, like, I love Surge back in the day. I really do think that this is a big part of, you know, the caffeine addiction I still have now.
I'm
going to be going to Burger King soon to see if I can find one. I also had to look. I did a quick Google before we got going, and I found that Surge actually has a Twitter account.
Oh, my gosh.
Still replying to people as of 2 days ago, letting them know you can load a freestyle machine or find a freestyle machine near you. They have a pinned tweet from August 1st of 2018. Rules for this account. Don't yell at me. Drink Surge at Burger King from CC Freestyle. 3, don't yell at me. 4, click here to find Surge near you. And 5, don't yell at me.
Dude.
Their last tweet, though, not reply, but just their last, somebody with a social media password sat down and said, we need to tweet something today. For this being 1997, this there's no more perfect way to encapsulate Surge in 1997 than Sky Will Never Die, retweet if you agree. Somebody.
Oh, man. Ska will never die.
Somebody got a paycheck. Yeah, somebody had a paycheck with hours on it to come up with Ska will never die from the official Surge account.
Official Surge account, baby. Enter. That's what it's you like did
I'm going on
day.
Lunch.
Oh, my gosh. That Surge, man. Surge.
May 31st, 2019. They have not tweeted in over 3 years because they're not going to top that.
No. Yeah. How are they going to top that? There's no way they could top that.
I think this is how Jeb, he finally finished his career. He got into social media, you know. He worked for Surge. Threw that bad boy out and says, you know, Jeb, you're done. He's like, am I fired again? No. You don't understand, Jeb. You've peaked.
Yeah.
You've peaked.
You peaked, Jeb. You peaked at Surge.
Go enjoy your retirement.
He's like, I want to surge past the competition. They're like, Jeb, this was another failure.
You should have quit digging.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're gonna call you Shovel from now on. Like, oh my gosh, yeah. But yeah, Coca-Cola, they introduced Surge. It was a fully loaded citrus soda to compete with Mountain Dew, but by putting 53 milligrams of caffeine in a 12-ounce serving, Coca-Cola had done a little more than its share to feed the rush, as its ads so aptly point out. But also in 1997, per Philip Limpert, who is the editor of the Lempert Report newsletter, he said national organic standards were implemented. And they said, we don't have anything against creating national organic standards. They are way overdue, and we applaud the spirit behind the 600-page document. But why didn't the U.S. Department of Agriculture settle the questions of allowing genetic engineering or irradiation? Don't know, Phil. Don't know. That is still up for debate today. We just call one organic and the other not. That's kind of what we've been doing ever since.
Yeah.
Sadly. But the next one here, foodreference.com with food history, going over 1997 here. Yeah, mad cow disease was an issue.
Oh, God, I remember that.
Yeah, that was a big issue. 1997, the USDA announced it will ban manufacturers from using most slaughtered animal parts and feed for farm animals to protect the U.S. food supply from mad cow disease. The ban becomes effective in August. And also in 1997, the British government announced an inquiry into the BSE disaster, which was the bovine spongiform encephalopathy, or mad cow disease, that devastated British farming. Yeah. I remember it was a bigger issue in the UK. That's what I remember. But yeah, mad cow disease. And it didn't make them mad. I don't know why they called it mad cow.
That I don't know, but I just remember this is it's one of those things that when you're a kid, you just there's this weird thing when you were a kid and there'd be big things happening in the world and you only sort of understood what was going on.
Right.
This was one of those things for me. Like, I remember it and I just remember thinking like, oh God, this is horrible. And having no understanding past that, I didn't know why it was bad. I just knew like, oh, cows are mad and like that's you know, food. I don't get it. But oh no.
Yeah, probably has something to do with mercury, kind of like Mad Hatters, right? And everybody's like, no, actually, just the cows lose all brain function. Actually, they kind of collapse. And we're feeding
Jesus.
Cows. Yeah, somebody fed cows to cows, and it's not a good idea.
Yeah, somebody's like, who let Jeb get in charge of agriculture? We knew this would happen.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Where did Jeb go? He said he got a job in the UK with farmers. It's like, uh-oh. Jeb strikes again. And, you know, Jeb might have been able to strike again because he was like, uh-oh, there's going to be a minimum wage hike. Because there was in 97. It went up to $5.15. That's right. $5.15 an hour. And do you know when the next time there was a minimum wage increase after that?
I know it happened, I think, in the mid-2000s or late-2000s.
Wow, you're pretty good at this. Yeah, because you were working age. I was working age.
So my first job was at 14, making $5.15 an hour.
yep.
Yeah, my first paycheck for about 11 hours of work, about $50, and I went straight to Old Navy.
Yeah. Oh, man. If that doesn't scream 2000s, I don't know what does.
Yeah, I actually probably bought a Surge and then went straight to Old Navy.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, no, 2007.
Yep,
sounds about decade, right. A decade went by without another minimum wage increase. And now, I don't think we've had one since 2007.
Yep.
It's been even longer.
Yeah, well, on the bright side, though, nothing's gotten more expensive, which is great. I am glad that, you know.
Nothing, if anything, it's gotten cheaper because of the cheese doodle heads that we
there
saw earlier.
Yeah. I'm just.
Yeah, Arizona iced tea, still a dollar.
Yeah. That's, it says 99 cent on the can, though.
Yeah.
I am so glad, though, that housing has kept up with that and that, you
right.
know.
Right.
Housing and cheese doodle heads, that's, you know, that's how you can tell the economy's doing, so.
Right. I mean, literally, it's almost like we've forgotten the word inflation at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
How? Who's that impacting? But it's not impacting our favorite gals over at Hooters. That's right. 1997, Hooters restaurants agreed to pay a $3.8 million in damages to settle a class action lawsuit alleging discriminating hiring practices because they would not hire males to wait tables. That's right. They had to apologize.
Everything made sense. Everything made sense when you said Hooters settled a lawsuit about discrimination. It's like, yep, this all tracks against guys. That's you lost me.
Right. Who to Hooters? Huh? To men, because they're like, yeah, we're not going to hire you to wait tables. And then I saw in the pictures of finding the Hooters picture that there was another restaurant started called like Tall something, like Tall Schlongs or Tall Jacks or something. It got kind of crazy.
I knew it wasn't going to be good, but
right. Yeah, it was a strange time. Then after the Hooters debacle, and I say after, it could have been before. These aren't, like, dated by the month.
Yeah.
So either one, Hooters was intrigued by, or afterward, somebody in Japan was like, we got to get to work, because the Kyoto Protocol was adopted by more than 150 countries at the Global Warming Conference in Kyoto, Japan, to take steps to control greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah, I'm so glad that in 1997 we said, you know what, screw it. We're going to handle important things. We're going to make sure that people are paid properly. We're going to make sure that there's no discrimination at restaurants. We're going to make sure that we take care of the environment. I'm glad that we did that. And then all those things stuck. That's what really makes me happy. Yeah. None of it got worse.
None of it got worse at all whatsoever. As I slightly hold in the screams of terror inside my brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. In Kyoto, Japan, Al Gore is pictured here shaking hands with a couple folks. Yeah, because they were like, yeah, we need to control this greenhouse gas thing. Yeah, that didn't happen really at all. It actually got worse, like a lot worse. Yeah.
We just didn't. Poor Al Gore. He deserved better than that.
He kind of did, didn't he? You know, like he's a weird dude. He sounds weird.
Agreed.
You know, but he deserved better than what he got. That's all I know. But one thing that got the best of the best and is still literally in the top five earnings for this category, which is the movie category, Titanic.
Oh,
opened in U.S. theaters. Authentic recipes were served on the RMS Titanic in 1912. That's right. Authentic recipes. And they did that throughout the movie. But yeah, Titanic, huge deal. Like, massive deal in 97. Yeah.
Can you think of, like, a movie that's been as culturally impactful as Titanic since then? Like, I know Avatar a few years ago was huge. Right. We've had big movies, but Titanic was a whole other beast.
It literally created businesses that are still existing today. Like, I know there's a ship in the shape of Titanic in Branson, Missouri. I know that is there. And literally, it's like a museum or something. Like, people just tour around in it. So, yeah, it literally created industry. There has been discussions still that Leo could have fit on the, you know, on the door that they were hanging out on. There's been debate. There's been debacles. Draw me like one of your French girls. Like, all sorts of stuff that Titanic has made. Leo, after this movie, exploded. One of the only movies to ever come out in a double, like, tape. VHS tape. Like, whoa.
Again, aging myself. I remember we had the double VHS at the house.
Yeah.
I remember that guy. Yeah, and I actually remember getting to do a Titanic exhibit at a museum, and it was really cool.
Yeah. It's kind of a crazy story. Like, it sounds like something that you would totally read out of, like, mythology or possibly the Bible, right? Like, this man built a boat that was unsinkable, and what do you know?
There's an iceberg somewhere. It's like, oh, bet.
Yeah, exactly. I got dibs.
So I recently read an article, like, just a couple of days ago, actually, about the actual iceberg that sank the Titanic, and just how much of a perfect storm it was that this would happen. Yeah. That these icebergs that break off, that they typically, like, less than 1% make it into that area where it would have been. So for that to happen, just the odds are off the chart.
Right.
And I just, and it, you know, it's funny that we're doing this today, because I was thinking about it. I was like, God, that was a thing. Like, the Titanic, just culturally, for decades, it was just like a thing. It's like, there was a huge ship and it sunk and we don't know where it's at. And then all of a sudden in the 80s, like, found it. It's down here. It's over here. And then, like, a decade later, it's like, I'm going to make a big movie about that. And I'm going to make a ton of money.
Yeah.
It's just wild.
Yeah. About an old lady who fit on a door but dropped a necklace.
Yeah.
What? that is what we got out of this? Like, that's it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Titanic. That's it. But yeah. Massive movie. People still watch it. Like, people think it's like, a great example of like historical movie, you know, whatever. And I'll admit, I don't hear about too many like massive mistakes they made. There's like a couple little like Easter eggs, right? Of things that, but yeah, but no, I mean like James Cameron did his homework and he's still obsessed with sunken boats to this day. I don't know. It was a crazy phenomenon. Just as crazy as Jerome Namias, who died on February 10th. That's my next one. Oh, man, I almost jumped over this. Sorry. This is even crazier than Jerome. Melvin Ellis Calvin. He was an American chemist who basically created, he was a biochemist, and he was awarded the 1961 Nobel Prize in Chemistry for furthering our knowledge of the mechanism of photosynthesis in green plants.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Our boy did that. Yeah. Just crazy. Absolutely
entirely
crazy.
Over my head, but it sounds cool.
Yeah. Cool scientists, guys. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But yeah, he figured out photosynthesis, and then he was like, 97? Yeah, I'm good.
He was
done.
I mean, Nobel Prize. I mean, understanding that. Yeah, he lived a hell of a life.
He did. He was one of these people that just, you know, he thought, I'm going to figure out kind of the biggest thing that everybody talks about right now, and then I'm just going to bounce. I'm not going to really talk about it.
Going to dip
out of here later. Yeah. So kind of crazy. But then here's the next one that's kind of crazy. And I was filtering through some of my pictures because I was like, wait a minute, did I like lose one here? And I did. I lost one. But we're back at it. Scientists in Scotland announced the first successful cloning of a mammal, Dolly. A sheep was cloned from an udder cell of an adult sheep. Dolly was actually born July 5th of 1996, but was only announced in 1997. So they held on to it secretly for like a year.
That's okay. Yeah. There's a joke to be made about the udder. There's a pun there.
And there's a huge pun.
Yeah, but I'm just going to say it. It is utterly impressive that they kept that a secret for a year.
Yeah.
I'm not proud of that one, but I had to. You imagine, like, there are things, like, you come home from work, you're like, I can't tell anybody about this because it's, like, a company secret.
Right.
This, you know, who would care anyway? Right. Come home from work, I work with a freaking clone sheep.
Yeah. Hey, you know, like in sci-fi movies when they say you can clone people and stuff? Yeah. That made up stuff. Yeah. I just did that.
You cloned a person? Well, okay, no. So it was a sheep.
It was a sheep, but it's cloned.
You have to lead with that, because if you don't lead with that, then you're going to disappoint people.
It may not be as impressive once you say it's a sheep. The only reason I remember this at the time was it was like, we are living in the future. Like, everybody was freaking out about this.
Yeah.
Like, it was going to become a thing. Like, we're going to clone our kids, and then we'll be able to get the organs from them. And it's like, what? Like, it became this whole crazy thing. Really, these scientists, I was reading about it more. One of the reasons why they did this cloning is they wanted to see genetically kind of what would happen. Like, is there anything that they can learn from cloning something and then watching this thing grow to see genetically if anything alters. Yeah. And there were like a majority of scientists that kept saying like, I'm guessing a lot of alterations are going to happen. Like a ton. Like this is going to be a very sick sheep. Like this is not going to be good. Well, what had happened? The sheep actually did fine. It was doing fine. It was going okay. Problem was, the cell that they took from the udder was part of a batch of sheep that had some type of cancer.
Mm.
And in cloned animals, since it is a clone, the cancer actually spreads faster than it does in the original cell because you've multiplied it. Like, you've basically grabbed something and multiplied it. And so Yeah, the Dolly the sheep sadly passed away because of a very aggressive form of sheep cancer. But basically, it kind of confirmed some of the things that these scientists were thinking, which were like, well, if you're doubling the genetics, you're basically cloning the same thing. Like, it isn't going to be an exact replica. It's going to actually, like, you're basically cloning a cell. And so these cells are going to become rapid. Like, they're going to start growing and growing and doing all these things. And so it was kind of one of these things where there was a little bit of like a, huh, this is crazy. This is just a healthy sheep. And they were like, oh, hey, you know the cloned one? Like the original one? Yeah, just died of cancer. And then they look at Dolly. And they're like, uh-oh. Like, Dolly needs some screenings. Yeah. So that poor Dolly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, honestly, this makes me want to read up on more on it. Because, I mean, the whole thing I think is fascinating. And I'm like you. I remember when this happened, just how big this was.
Yeah.
And the fear of like, yeah. Oh, God, oh, we're playing God now.
Right.
And what are the moral implications? And I don't know that this is the podcast to figure that out. But it was just, I remember it was fascinating, this idea. Like, this is how far science has advanced. And it just makes me wonder, like, how far has it advanced since then in this regard? And,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to read up on it. This is one of those things I'm going to have to do a nerdy deep dive.
Yeah, yeah. Another, speaking of nerdy deep dives, we'll get to one of those here in a second. But before then, Wannabe by the Spice Girls hit number one on the charts. Why am I incorporating this with a food podcast, you might ask? Because... this was played at every Applebee's on the face of the earth. All right. Like, this song was freaking everywhere, man. It was everywhere. Yeah. Yeah.
I just thought you were going to say that. I mean, you know, technically they were Spices. I mean, it's a food podcast. That makes perfect sense.
Totally. Right. And they are the Spice Girls. So
and I'll say this too. And this is one of the most amazing things in the world. The Spice Girls, do you know what they all have in common today? We'll bring it back to food for you. What do they have in common outside of being in the Spice Girls? I'm going to say it because I can't hang on to it. I'm so excited.
Okay.
The five of them, in addition to six random gentlemen named Herb, are the only people that are followed by the official KFC account.
Yeah.
The 11 herbs and spices.
Yeah. Yep.
My favorite Twitter Easter egg.
I know, man. It is awesome, isn't it? Like, whoever is running the KFC account, bravo. Just bravo.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, man. But another great thing going on for the Spice Girls that year that hit number one again, Say You'll Be There. That's right. Say You'll Be There.
I don't remember that one.
See, I just remember like eight of their songs hit number one. And it was weird because they were from the UK. We were in the US. It was like what's going on? Like,
they were part of that second British invasion, right?
Right, right. Yeah. The second one where they came in on the boats and they were yelling at us about our stodgy pies. And then we were like, what?
our too sweet sandwich bread.
Right, right. They're like, why don't you buy your bread? And we're like, what? Did you just say you're going to Boston? we didn't know what they were saying. But yeah. And then in sad news, the largest food recall in U.S. history at the time, which I think it's still up there, like in one of the biggest disasters, Hudson Foods closed its Nebraska plant and recalled 25 million pounds of ground beef that were potentially contaminated with E. coli.
Ooh.
We've heard of recalls quite a bit, you know, nowadays, and it's like, well, what was so special about this one? You know, 25 million pounds, one, that is a ton of meat. That is a lot. But on top of that, besides the, like, the amount, here's the reason. This is from a PowerPoint presentation going over food safety. They talked about a lack of the recall. So Clinton's administration made efforts to implement a tough science-based food inspection. Meatpacking and fast food industries are major financial supporters for Republicans. This sets back the Democratic Party's food inspection reforms when Republicans had majority in Congress. The Hudson Foods outbreak in 1997 revealed the flaws with the USDA recall policy. The USDA could not order a recall. They could only heavily suggest it to a company. Rarely did the USDA take the extreme measure to shut down the factory. Hamburger patties were discovered with E. coli, and Hudson Foods first made no effort to recall the spoiled meat until a few months later. But once it was a voluntary recall, USDA didn't have to inform the public, which they didn't. The USDA got bad press as soon as the public found out about the contaminated meat.
As well they should have.
Hence why the USDA is in, like, every food plant now. Like, there is somebody who works for the USDA that is in those plants walking around checking on things. Kind of crazy. And it's because of this type of stuff right here.
it's terrible that something like this is, it needs something like this for that to happen, but I'm glad it did.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they've changed that.
They changed it. Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah. And then if some folks were in the trucks at Hudson, like, man, I'm glad I'm delivering this meat, they might have heard on the radio, Honey by Mariah Carey. It went number one on the charts that year. That's right. Honey. So, yeah.
Mariah.
Yep. Mariah, man. She became an actor. She became a lip syncer. She did all sorts of stuff, you know? But I love Mariah. She's pretty great. Then you got Victor Mills, who he was an engineer at Duncan Hines. He helped with Jif peanut butter, Procter & Gamble, Duncan Hines cake mix, and invented Pampers disposable diapers. That's right. He did all those things.
But he
passed away. And if anybody's wondering, like, oh, why do you still have a picture of Mariah Carey up? It's because all of Victor Mills's images were copywritten, were crazy copywritten. Like, I couldn't even screenshot it all that well. It was kind of crazy. Anyway.
As far as we know, he may have been a big Mariah fan.
He was probably a huge Mariah fan, I bet. He was like, honey. That way he was going for it. But in crazier news, this is the one that, like, when I first read it, I cracked up, and I shouldn't have. It's very sad, but I did laugh quite a bit. Reports from Chile about giant rats that had been feeding on the droppings of hormone-fattened poultry were attacking farm animals near Santiago. It made the news. It was a huge deal. It was like they were attacking, like, pigs, other chickens.
I don't have words.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about a crazy story. Like, wait a minute. Where was this? It was in Chile. Okay. So in Chile, there were giant rats. Yeah. Not capybara. I'm talking actual rats. And they were freaking massive. How did that happen? Well, they were eating droppings of hormone-fattened chickens. It's like,
just every word got crazier.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and then what happened? Well, they started attacking other farm animals near Santiago. It's like, what?
It's one of those things. Just like you start the sentence, like in Chile, it's like, fine, normal sentence. And then you just keep going. It's like, this took a lot of left turns. And it still didn't end up in a big circle. I don't know where the hell I am.
Yeah. Yeah, somehow it got crazier. It just kept going and going. And then fear of the bird flu in 1997. Oh, yeah. It led Hong Kong to order its entire population of chickens, over 1 million birds, to be killed. Oh, man. They just said, nope. And thank God they weren't getting then fed to those rats in Chile. Like, let me tell you... That could have been a disaster. Could have been really bad. But yeah, not
giant,
good.
Giant mutant bird flu rats.
Yeah. Mutant bird flu rats.
That's
would have been
be a band name. Mutant
that
bird flu
has
rats.
To be right. Yeah, you would think so. But no, fear of bird flu. It went crazy. But no, the next one here. This is, you know, from Wikipedia. Started in 1997. I don't know if they got them out here in out in North Carolina, but we have a thing called Cafe Yum, and they have Yum bowls. Yeah, Yum bowls. And all it is rice with beans, Yum sauce, which is a vegan and vegetarian, gluten-free, non-GMO sauce, and it's delicious. It's basically like hummus on steroids. It's really, really good. Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. And then they put salsa, cheese, and other deluxe toppings if you please. Okay. But they do it in a wrap. They do it in a burrito. They do it in a bowl. They have tempeh. They have tofu and chicken. So if you're a meat eater, you can still get meat here. But yeah, vegan vegetarian restaurant Cafe Yum started in 1997. Very popular out here in Oregon.
I would love to, because you know, you and I talked about this. I'm a meat eater, but you know, I love a good vegetable, and I'm totally on board with a tofu tempeh. This is something I want to try. This, I'm looking at a picture right now. It looks amazing.
Oh, it's delicious. It is absolutely amazing. I love Cafe Yum. I'm never disappointed whenever I get their stuff. Every now and again, I'm like, yeah, it's healthy. Sure, like, let's get a Yum bowl, and then the second I eat that Yum sauce, I'm like, God, this stuff is good. Like, it's in our grocery stores. You can get a bottle of Yum sauce through their drive-thru. It's amazing.
Like, I'm a fan of that, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's pretty sweet. Yeah, no, it's fast food, but it's healthy, and it's okay. And, I mean, if you get a ton of Yum sauce, it may not be healthy, but it's still vegan and vegetarian and gluten-free.
So, yeah, that's going on the bucket list.
Yeah, yeah, pretty great. Not to be outdone, though, and I say not to be outdone because there was Yum Brands. That's right, KFC, Pizza Hut. It started in 97, ended shortly after. It's still called Yum Brands, by the way. But it did end the collection of Yum Brands, what have you. It has expanded since then. It used to be KFC, Taco Bell, a burger chain, I can't remember, and then Long John Silver's. It has only expanded since then. Yum Brands is everywhere now.
Aren't they one of the biggest, if not the biggest?
Yeah, they're like the biggest. They are huge. And it's because of their global reach, especially with KFC. Like, it's everywhere, man.
Yeah. It always amazes me that KFC has such a huge global impact. You know, I'm sure you've heard, like, I think it's in Japan. There are parts of Japan where, like, KFC is like this is what's so cool to me about, like, you know, cross-cultural things is that it's been adopted as, like, this, that's just part of a traditional, like, Christmas dinner. And I might be wrong on that if I'm wrong.
You're not. Yeah. Okay. So Christmas time in Japan, everybody does a pre-order of a tub of chicken. You can get like a 12 or a 24 piece, and people get that. It was a campaign, like an advertising campaign, and now it's become just this big tradition in Japan that you're getting the Colonel for Christmas. Like, it's like, that is what you're gonna go do. And it, to me, I think what some people have equated it to is diamonds with wedding rings. And how Zales and some of the other companies, like, they basically said, like, only, you know, diamonds are forever and that kind of thing, you know, when in reality it's like, well, what's a diamond worth?
Yeah, well, it's whatever you'll pay for it. That's
right.
Makes perfect sense.
Whatever somebody will pay for it. Well, it's the same thing with the Colonel in Japan. It's like, why do we eat fried chicken on Christmas? Because we do. That's like what, you know,
I don't need a reason to eat fried chicken. I told my wife the other day, I love the fact that KFC, that we can, in the United States, a bucket of chicken is a measurement that makes sense to most people.
Right. You can size things up. You can see how tall something is, short something is. Yeah. Bucket of chicken is a measurement.
Well, how many people are going to be there? I don't know. It's enough to eat two buckets of chicken. I would feel so bad for the person that would just hear that completely out of or with no frame of reference, no context of just, what'd you have for dinner for tonight? I always grabbed a bucket of chicken. The hell do you mean you had a bucket of chicken?
Yeah. Like a 5 gallon?
Do you not have plates here?
Yeah. Do you get, what are you guys, what is this, the apocalypse? Like, what is going on?
It's like, something really dystopian about that. You know?
Yeah, we got it from a colonel.
I never once questioned this growing up, but what'd you do for dinner last night? Oh, we just popped over the Colonel, grabbed a bucket of chicken.
Yeah.
What is your life?
Yeah, exactly. Like, who is this Colonel? Why is he handing out fried chicken? It's like, he just is. He wears all white. What? Like, what?
Well, yeah, he's not a real Colonel. What the?
But yeah, and he wears like a black bolo tie. Bolo tie? Yeah, and he's from Kentucky. What?
Yeah, he was involved in a murder one time.
Gas station guy.
Is there a biopic of him coming out? Because if there's not, I want to see it.
I want
the Colonel Sanders biopic. Right.
Yeah. Who? But the thing is who do you have play Colonel Sanders? You know? Like,
I think you go the same route they did for the commercials and just have a bunch of different people all throughout the movie
and just never acknowledge it.
I don't even mean like, okay, you got a young Colonel, an old Colonel. Just one scene it's Reba McEntire, the next scene it's, you know, Idris Elba, you know, just all over the place.
Right.
And just never touch on it.
To me, the old Colonel, it's gotta be Jeff Bridges. It's gotta be Jeff Bridges. Oh. He's just going from every place. Listen, man, you gotta sell my, you know, fried chicken. It's really, really good. Don't worry about it. You're gonna sell this like hotcakes, man. Like, he's just trying to do that the whole time as the Colonel. See, you put the chicken in here, and then you just, you pressure cook the thing, man. Like, it's going to be great.
Harlan, you can't sell chicken by the bucket. Yeah, well, that's just like your opinion, man.
Exactly, yeah. Well, that's like your opinion, man. Like, it's just, like, I would love Jeff Bridges as the Colonel. That has to be a thing. I don't know about the younger versions or the kid version, you know, I don't know. But
no, him is the younger version, too.
Oh, just, yeah.
Him is young. Just, we've got the technology. We can do it.
We can do it. We can do that. Oh, man, Al Pacino as the Colonel. Yeah, who left all this chicken out right here? Like, oh man, that would be.
And there's a montage too. He's trying all these different recipes. Finally, he's like, I'm never gonna make it happen, you know. And he takes a bite out of the last batch. And, hoo-ah!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hoo-ah! Just Oh man. Yep. Al Pacino as the Colonel. Yeah.
That's so dumb.
Somehow Jamie Foxx shows up. We don't even know. Like, yeah. It just, oh man, I'm telling you. Biopic for the Colonel. We gotta make this happen.
Oh God.
Another life-changing thing, though, and the last thing on our list from 1997, the McFlurry. That's right. Yeah, so McFlurry. McDonald's, that changed my life, the McFlurry did. I was telling my wife about this. The McFlurry, you couldn't get a Happy Meal and get a McFlurry at the time, right? And so I was 7. So, like, Happy Meals were still a big thing. I had to jump off of the Happy Meal wagon to get a McFlurry. And so I had to come up with something. You know what I mean? It was like double cheese, Mick, whatever. And my mom's like, medium or what? I'm like, medium, sure. She's like, so what to drink? I'm like, don't want a drink. I want a McFlurry. And she's like, God, Devin. Like, you don't. I'm like, yeah, I do. I want a McFlurry with the weird plastic spoon that I think is a straw, and I keep trying to suck on it, and nothing comes out. No, I want that. And I would get, I'd get my McFlurry, man. Oreo. Oreo is always my favorite. People swore up and down about M&M, right? Reese's, obviously a pretty good champ. But, McFlurry's, man.
I love Reese's. I love peanut butter and chocolate. It's a classic combination.
It is.
Yeah. I do love the idea, though, that, you know, it's, again, the United States is a beautiful place, and that you can get a bucket of chicken and you can wash down a cheeseburger with ice cream, basically.
Yeah, with literally blended ice cream with candy in it.
Yeah, it's, you know, you can order food from McDonald's and say, what do you want to drink? It's like, it's literally saying, if you could have some ice cream and put that in a blender, and then dump some candy in there.
Yeah, Yeah.
I'll just drink that.
Actually, sir, we're out of candy. Fine. Put Oreo cookies in it.
Actually, when honestly, the truth is, sir, I'm sorry, our machine's not working right now. That's
right.
You're probably more likely to get that, but
right, exactly, yeah.
You gotta love I'm what it does.
It exactly, yeah. Well, and what I figured out, so the spoon is actually the thing that blends the McFlurry.
Really?
I did not know that. Yeah, I don't know if they still use those like weird spoons, but you know how it looks like a clip and it has an open square.
Yeah.
That square clipped onto something, and they would use the plastic spoon to stir the McFlurry, to blend it together. And I had no idea until, like, I was, like, in high school, and then one of my buddies worked at McDonald's, and I'm like, why do they always give me this weird spoon? Like, how come I can't use the black spoon that they've got for, like, all the other stuff, like the parfaits? They're like, oh, well, that's how they blend the McFlurry. I'm like, what?
I don't know what I believe anymore.
I know. My eyes were, my mind was blown. I just was like, what? Like, they don't just use like a regular blender? No. You put the spoon on it. What? What? Like, it just didn't make sense. And yeah, no, McFlurry's, and they're still around today. They're still killing the game.
Well, again, when the machine's working.
Right, when the machine is operational, which is like one in a million shot.
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing is I've heard that part of it is, yeah, true, the machines and the error codes and all that, like actual jargon. But then I have heard like they tried to run an analysis on how many of it was just the people were lying because they didn't want to clean the machine.
Oh, right? Actually, it was most of it.
Right. And that's what I thought. I thought it would be a super high percentage. I don't know if they actually got that done or not. Like if it actually came out with anything. But yeah, I would love to know how much, especially when it got close to like, I don't want to say closing time because a lot of McDonald's are 24 hours. But like, True. You know, some of them, like they do have a closing time. I wonder how many like after 8, they're just like, no.
Broken.
Yeah, you're not getting a milkshake? What the heck are you talking about? Like, no. It's like, well, can I get an ice cream cone for 50 cents? No, Gladys. You need to just get a soda like a normal person. We've got Surge.
No, Burger King's got Surge. You just got the... Right. So you just got the... You've got the McDonald's on one side of the street. Machine's down. Nobody can get a McFlurry. They're pissed. Across right. the street, you're thinking, oh, you can grab a Surge. No, they don't have the freestyle, so they don't have the necessary equipment to provide you with the Surge.
Right.
And you just wonder what is wrong with the little small town you live in, and I could be projecting a bit right now.
Oh, yeah. is that an experience that maybe somebody's had?
Look, we don't need to go into details here.
Yeah. No, I know the feeling. My small town thing that I didn't like growing up Ozark, Missouri. So I wanted Burger King green ooze sauce. It was like sweet and sour. I can't even remember. It was for Nickelodeon. It was some Nickelodeon movie. Something like that was coming out. And Burger King had green ooze condiment. Like, you know, I don't know if it was ketchup alternative. I have no idea. I never got to try it because every time we went to this freaking Burger King, they were like, yeah, no, we don't have any of the green sauce. I'm like, Mom, I don't care what we get here now. I really do not care. Like, she's just like, well, do you want fries? I'm like, large.
See, this just makes me think. So do you remember the colored ketchup from the night? I think it was from the 90s as well.
Yeah. Purple, green. Yeah, they had all sorts, yeah.
Because, you know, there's nothing more appetizing than, you know, and again, right. I'll, we'll chalk this up to being a child, green sauce. Right. Well, I guess, you know, I love an avocado spread or a salsa verde, so maybe not that. But, like, the fake neon green color, I will tell you, it's not the same thing, but apparently just doing a quick Google search of green sauces, Walmart, it looks like if they don't still, they did at one point have a Nickelodeon slime sauce made with a Great Value ketchup. So,
bam. See, I'm telling you, I knew it was something. I couldn't tell if it was like a sweet and sour sauce. I didn't know if it was supposed to be a mustard. I didn't know if it was, you know what I mean? Like, I had no idea. I just remember thinking, like, I gotta try the green sauce. And then we would go there, and my little chubby butt would sit in that car. It was a 96 Mazda Protege. And I would sit there, and I'm like, I want, you know, a Whopper with fries, and can I get green sauce? And I mean, it was like four times. Four times we went there in a matter of like a month. And every time it was like, no, we don't have that green sauce. And I think every time my mom's like, my God, my son is going to just like, I don't know, he's going to like burn down the local Burger King if you guys don't give us this sauce. Like, for the love of God, like, how many kids come through here and order that sauce every day? Like, this isn't a very big town. Like, what the heck happened?
You don't have a white whale, but you do have a green sauce.
Oh, man, I do. Yeah. And see, that's the thing is, like, I remember everybody ranting and raving about the Szechuan sauce for the Rick and Morty stuff coming out. Yeah. And I remember thinking at the time, like, yeah, I think I remember having Mulan, whatever. And I don't remember it that well. Like, it was like, meh. Like, okay. It was like an offshoot kind of thing. But Rick and Morty made it really popular, you know, what have you. If somebody could do that again, but for Burger King and the green sauce, I would appreciate that, like, a lot. Because I don't want to go to Walmart again. I worked for them for 3 years, didn't like it. Let me get green sauce at Burger King again, along with my Surge and a Whopper. All right.
I think we need, there's a Twitter campaign coming, I think. And it's, you know, justice for green sauce, or, you know, bring back green sauce. We'll come up with it.
Yeah. Bring back the mean green. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what I'm telling you. But that is the last thing in our trip to 1997. Crazy year for a plate in time. Lots of things. Obviously, a longer episode than usual, but it's because we lived it. We had our experiences tied into this, you know?
Formative years for us.
It was. Yeah. It was a crazy time filled with not getting green sauce, having weird spoons with McFlurries, and watching out for that mad cow. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, that and hoping Dolly didn't show up, because that probably caused a couple nightmares for some people. I'm sure of it.
There was somebody out there that had a Dolly the culling sheep nightmare.
Just as they're sleeping, they're counting sheep going over a fence, and then Dolly just charges at them. He's like, bah! Just goes right at them, and they're just like, Dolly!
And then if it's a culling sheep, is it one? One,
right, exactly.
It's the same sheep,
right? It's the same sheep over and over. That broke the sleep cycle for so many people. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. But not to break our cycle, our last meal pod. Everybody, go check it out. It's about loss, grief, and food. It is amazing. I've said it's like a nice little hug with your little earmuffs or on your wireless Bluetooth speaker, listening to folks talking about people that they care about and the foods that attach them to those people, and great times with meals or not so great times. So great storytelling. Yeah. And you'll get to listen to Andrew.
Man. Devin, you always do, I think, a better job of explaining it and promoting it than I do, but I really do appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's always nice to have people on and just give them a chance to kind of talk and share, and, you know, about people, about food, and just, you know, give them a chance to honor someone they love.
Yeah, yeah. It hits deep questions, deep ideas, deep philosophies, and yet the food is still prevalent. It still is attached in that way. And I think, like I said, it is. It's humanity. It's just, I think a lot of us have these experiences or will have these experiences, right? Like, maybe you haven't had yours yet and you're thinking, man, I'm like in my 30s. How? Food and people. And the next thing you know, something happens. You know, you lose touch. Like you mentioned, you could lose touch with friends. It doesn't mean that the person has passed. It just means that, you know, it's like, where did that person go? What happened to them? I remember going to this or that or doing this and this. And we used to always go to this one place, and it was like, it brings back the soft, warm, fuzzy feeling, yet it helps you kind of deal with a situation that you've had, you know?
Yeah.
Allows you to talk about it without feeling like, why am I trying to connect the food to this person? A person's a person. Why are you talking about a Crunchwrap Supreme? You're like, listen, you got to pay attention to this.
It doesn't have to be good food.
Right.
To be something because that's what I've tried to, express to people is that, I have memories I tie to people that I care about, and it's not always good food. It's sometimes, and I say that as in good as in like high end or, like something you would. Maybe not something you would feed to somebody that you were trying to impress. Yeah. But there are foods that, I think about things that, my grandparents' house. I talk about in the first episode of Our Last Meal, and it's, if I had to share like a food with somebody that I really cared about, and I'm like, okay, I want to just take you back to, the time of my life, I might hand them a bologna sandwich and a Little Debbie donut stick.
Right.
And it's not going to impress anybody. It's not going to win any awards, but I can take a bite of those things, and I just immediately I think about my grandmother.
Oh yeah.
And I can remember being in her house and spending time with my cousins, and food, we connect. I think food is it's the great connector, right?
Yeah.
We all gotta eat. We all gotta eat, but everybody's had a good meal with someone they care about.
Oh yeah. And I think it's one of those things, like, as folks get older, you start to realize, like, most conversations, things that you learn about other people, you're usually eating something. It's the one time that it's like it's downtime. Like, whether it's about your coworkers, whether it's about family members, friends, whatever, it's like this little bit of downtime where you get to be a human. You get to not be the worker bee. You don't have to be the mom, the dad, you know what I mean? You can actually kind of express yourself in a way and
just enjoy.
Yeah. And eat the things that you like. It's, it's just one of those deals. But everybody check out Our Last Meal wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple, Google, doesn't matter. Get all your tech, put it in a basket. I bet you anything you'll find Our Last Meal at some point. Same with us here at Culinary Convo. And we'll see everybody next time on A Plate in Time. And all I got to say, I'm about to spin the wheel right now for our 1997, where we're going to land next for Plate in Time. I tell you what, I've got a feeling that it's going to be, I'm going to say the 80s. I mean, it's the 70s or the 80s. I don't know why. There's just something about it that is screaming my name for that time period. So I'm going to do, what did I usually do? I do 1841, because I've done 1840s before. And maybe I should do the 50s. 1850s, there we go. To the present, we'll do to 2021, because, we can't do this year quite yet. Here we go. Oh my gosh, another 90s. 1992. I did 1991 not too long ago, and now we did 97. It's just a 90s roll. So we will see everybody in 1992. Andrew, again, thank you for coming on. It's been a blast.
Devin, always have fun coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And everybody check out Our Last Meal. Go to culinaryconvo.com or Our Last Meal. Is it ourlastmealpod.com, right?
Our Last Meal Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
On Twitter. So the socials, you add pod, website, just ourlastmeal.com. Everybody go visit, listen, share amongst your friends, follow, do all the good stuff. That way you're catching everything we're dishing out. We'll see everybody next time. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye. Yeah. All right. right.
This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Ream, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transitions, and outro music. Thank you.